this morning, John is gone this week, as David is getting married in Alaska, so a bunch of folks are up there with that. Yeah? Oh, yeah, thank you, kids. Kids, good job. You may, except for junior hires, you're staying in here today. It is going to be awesome. So John had arranged ahead of time for Charlie Greer to share this morning. And then, unexpectedly, Charlie's mom passed away this week. And so we had the funeral here yesterday. But Charlie was, clearly, we were not going to ask him to speak. Plate was pretty full. And so Audrey's been sharing recently in the women's Bible study about prayer. And so we thought, you know, that's the perfect opportunity. This week, starting tonight, we're doing 80 hours of prayer here. We're reading the entire Bible straight through for 80 hours. This is 24 hours a day. This is going on. Starting tonight at 5 o'clock with a worship service here kicking it off. The prayer officially begins at 6 and ends at 6 o'clock Thursday morning. And that's a lot of praying. That's not all going to be done by us. There's churches that are bringing people in from all over to pray and fill up that time. So with that starting tonight, we thought this would be ideal. And so, Audrey, let's open in prayer, if that's okay. Father, we are so grateful that you have a message for us from your word and that you promise us amazing things. And, Lord, we take comfort in that, and that builds us up, and that helps us grow. Lord, this morning as Audrey shares, would you please give her your words, that they would flow her through her mouth, and that your Holy Spirit would carry them to our ears, and we'd be able to apply them. Father, we thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Well, good morning. Let's have fun with this today. First, I'd like to pray for our time together. For the Holy Spirit to fill this room, for my words to be God-honoring, for wisdom and clarity, and especially for each person here, to hear something that touches their heart. Lord Jesus, please be present in every cell of my body. Take away my fears and anxiety. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. I consider it an honor and a privilege to have the opportunity to share my heart with you today. I have a strong passion for prayer and for being a prayer warrior for God's program. God's power is accessed through prayer and praise. When we are filled with a passion for something God is doing, we can't help it but want to shout it from the mountaintops. A little about myself, which is why I believe being a prayer warrior is so very important. I've been a wife for 41 years. That'll bring you to your knees. I have 6 children, 3 biological daughters, ages 40, 39, and 37, and 3 internationally adopted sons, ages 21, 20, and 19. I have a 20-year-old son that I've not heard from since December. He's living in North Carolina since last spring because it's the furthest he could get from Spokane. I have 2 son-in-laws who have chosen recently to pursue atheism after having been believers for many years, which leaves me with 9 grandchildren that I need to be on my knees for. I have personal experience dealing with the hurts and dishonesty of addiction. I currently have 12 grandchildren, ranging in the ages of from 10 years to 1 month, including a grandson who resides in heaven, having lived only 18 days. I know each and every one of you could make a similar list, and I wish I could sit down with each of you and hear your stories. I am so excited for when we're in heaven. We can hear all of the stories of how God has worked in our lives and the lives of so many others. Imagine sitting next to Moses and hearing his personal account of what went on at the Red Sea, or talking directly with the disciples. We all have so many things in our lives that bring us to our knees. Recently, there have been some women's marches that have made the news. I would like to suggest that we could use another format to change the world. We can stand together using the power of God's word and the fruit of the Spirit to become strategic prayer warriors for God's kingdom. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." I remember a Bible study that I was invited to in my neighborhood back in the 70s. I know that's before some of you were born. Anyway, this Bible study met specifically to pray for unsaved husbands. My husband and I had been very active in churches for our whole lives, and I felt that this was one study I didn't need to find time for. Boy, was I wrong. When those women began praying, I realized how heartfelt and sincere their prayers were. I had never prayed for my own husband with the strength and passion that I was witnessing. I thought, what would happen if I found even a portion of their passion and prayed it for my own man? What a wake-up call. Short time later, we were living in Wenatchee on a short-term job transfer. We attended a local church, and one Sunday, an elderly gentleman went up to the pulpit, cleared his throat, took a sip of water, and looked out over the congregation, and began quietly quoting scripture, not just a verse or two, but whole chapters, and then chapter after chapter. It took my breath away to hear him worship God and communicate with him in such a sweet and sincere manner. It is hard to describe how very beautiful it was. I asked him how he did it. He was a shepherd. He spent many hours out in the fields caring for his sheep, and during that time he worshiped, prayed, and memorized scripture. Another wake-up call. I had a neighbor in the 80s whom we shared a driveway with. She became a widow suddenly and had two daughters close in age to my children. We often joked that we should just put on an addition to connect the two houses together because we spent so much time together. As I look out over the crowd here, I wish I could spend that kind of time with many of you, all of you. One day, she shared that she had tried to read her Bible, but it just didn't make any sense. I told her that it would be like reading someone else's mail. If you don't know anything about God or why Jesus walked on earth for a time, if you didn't have a relationship with the author, it would be very difficult to understand a book that is over 2,000 years old. I explained that when you ask to become a member of God's family, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps you to understand God's letters to you, his child. The Holy Spirit makes God's word come alive to us. I experienced great joy when she accepted Christ's offer and joined the family of believers. I love to take Bible promises and personalize them by putting loved ones' names in them, into the verse. I use these 3x5 cards to keep track of my favorite verses. For example, Luke 12:34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Luke 12:34, for where Colleen's treasure is, there Colleen's heart will be also. I would like you to turn to your neighbor and put their name into this verse. Then please trade places and hear your name in the verse. For where Audrey's treasure is, there Audrey's heart will be also. Go ahead. Thank you. As I continue to speak with you today, I will be quoting quite a few Bible verses. I just want you all to feel bathed in God's word, in the power of God's word. There is power in the word of God that just soaks into your innermost being. I would like you to write down any references to the verses that speak to your heart. This is what I do throughout the week. If I hear a verse during a sermon, off the radio, while reading, or in Bible study, quiet time, I write down the references. Then when I get a chance, I look them up and write them word for word on a 3x5 card to carry with me. After I'm finished speaking, we will hopefully have some time to share with each other. I would like you to have a chance to share some of your favorite verses with each other so you can add them to your prayer strategy. Spending time sharing God's promises and praying for each other is one of the most beautiful ways we can invest in each other's hearts. No soldier left behind, no prayer warrior feeling unloved or on a battle alone. United, we are stronger. The enemy is real. We need each other. Just as there are many books written on prayer, there are also many ways to pray. There's nothing magical about using 3x5 cards. I use them to help me remember scripture and to place my loved ones' names into the verses. I used to be able to memorize verses and quote them all throughout the day. Perhaps one of the hardest things of being in my 60s is that I just can't or don't seem to be able to multitask as well as I used to, nor can I really recall scripture exactly the way I used to. So I carry these 3x5 cards in my purse. You need to use what's right for you. Whether it's putting verses on your kitchen windowsills, using specific verses on bookmarks, wall hangings hung in the nursery, laundry room, or bathroom, In your all of these methods gets God's powerful word into the eyesight of all who enter. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Second Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 says, If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. There is no better way for me to say these words. It's already been promised to us. If Audrey, who is called by my name, will humble herself, pray and seek my face, and turn from her evil ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive Audrey's sin, and heal Audrey's land. Recently, I've decided my land is not just in Spokane. It reaches all the way to North Korea. It's very humbling, first of all, to be up here talking to you today. But it's also very humbling to hear your own name in a verse like that. Philippians 4:19, And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And my God will meet all of David's needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Psalms 51:10, Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Create in Danny a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within Danny. Jeremiah 29:12-13, Call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. For where Audrey's treasure is, there Audrey's heart will be also. The battle belongs to the Lord. He has the final victory. To quote my husband, I read the end of the book and God wins. In Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20, it says, Again, I truly say to you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. John 15:7 states, If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. The secret is in remaining in him, in his will. It's not a Christmas list type program, but rather using the power of God's word, the promises he has made to us, and praying them back in specific situations. We can claim these promises boldly. We can pray together and claim the power of God's word and these promises. We can keep prayer journals, which are simply lists of prayers asked and how God answers. Someone asked, why do we write it down? The answer is simple, to remember. To remember what God has done for us. If you think about it, you can probably remember a few of your favorite birthday presents, the really special ones. One year, I asked my husband for an electric can opener. He actually bought a hand crank can opener, slit the package open, and stuffed it with two AAA batteries, wrapped it in Christmas paper, ribbon, and a bow. Funny, but unforgettable. The next year, I asked again. He bought a hand crank can opener, attached an extension cord to the end of the handles with alligator clips. A few months later, our pastor's wife told him she had a present in the office for me, but I needed to open it in front of him. She'd heard about the can opener saga and actually gave me a brand new electric can opener. He was embarrassed, but we both could not stop laughing for a long time. There are other gifts that simply slip our minds. I like to think of answered prayers as gifts God has given me. When God answers, it is something we want to remember. What God is doing in our lives is a very important part of our relationship with Him. Prayer journals are very special a few years later to reread and recognize God's hand in your life. The benefit of prayer, or the result of prayer, is to see and recognize what God is doing and what God is up to. And I want to be right there where God is up to something. There are a lot of things in this world that I cannot fix for my children or grandchildren, but I can see that they are bathed in prayer. I can pray a hedge of protection around them daily. We actually pray that our children get caught in their deviant behavior in order to avoid bigger consequences later in life. A couple of years ago, while attending the Mosaic Wednesday night prayer meeting, There was a special woman there who happens to be here today, Victoria Love. Many of you know her, who prayed strongly from her heart with incredible passion. I think I consider it a gift from God that Victoria is sitting here. I didn't know she would be here. She lives in Arizona. It's so cool. I asked her about it, and she shared with me. Oh, she prayed strongly from her heart with incredible passion. I think I said that. I asked her about it. She shared with me. We met together a few times, and she recommended I read a book called The Circle Maker by Mark Batterson. Since then, I've purchased several copies and given them to friends and family members. Let me read a bit of it to you. In the first century B.C., and a devastating drought threatened to destroy a generation, the generation before Jesus. The last of the Jewish prophets had died off nearly four centuries before. Miracles were such a distant memory that they seemed like a false memory, and God was nowhere to be heard. But there was one man, an eccentric sage who lived outside the walls of Jerusalem, who dared to pray anyway. His name was Honi. And even if the people could no longer hear God, he believed that God could still hear them. With a 6-foot staff in hand, Honi began to turn like a math compass. His circular movement was rhythmical and methodical, 90 degrees, 180 degrees, 270 degrees, 360 degrees. He never looked up as the crowd looked on. And after what seemed like hours but had only been seconds, Honi stood inside the circle he had drawn. Then he dropped to his knees and raised his hands to heaven. With the authority of the prophet Elijah, who called down fire from heaven, Honi called down rain. Lord of the universe, I swear before your great name that I will not move up from the circle until you have shown mercy upon your children. The word sent a shudder down the spines of all who were within earshot that day. It wasn't just the volume of his voice, it was the authority of his tone. Not a hint of doubt. This prayer didn't originate in the vocal cords. Like water from an artesian well, the words flowed from the depths of his soul. His prayer was resolute yet humble, confident yet meek, expectant yet unassuming. Then it happened. As his prayer ascended to the heavens, raindrops descended to the earth. An audible gasp swept across the thousands of congregants who had encircled Honi. Every head turned heavenward as the first raindrops parachuted from the sky, but Honi's head remained bowed. The people rejoiced over each drop, but Honi wasn't satisfied with a sprinkle. Still kneeling within the circle, he lifted his voice over the sounds of celebration. Not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain that will fill cisterns, pits, and caverns. The sprinkle turned into such a torrential downpour that eyewitnesses said no raindrop was smaller than that of the size of an egg. It rained so heavily and so steadily that the people fled to the Temple Mount to escape flash floods. Honi stayed and prayed inside his protracted circle. Once more, he refined his bold request. Not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain of your favor, blessing, and graciousness. Then, like a well-proportioned sun shower on a hot and humid August afternoon, it began to rain calmly, peacefully. Each raindrop was a tangible token of God's grace, and they didn't just soak the skin. They soaked the spirit with faith. It had been difficult to believe the day before the day. The day after the day, it was impossible not to believe. Honi was celebrated as a hometown hero by the people whose lives he had saved, but some within the Sanhedrin called the circle maker into question. A faction believed that drawing a circle and demanding rain dishonored God. Maybe it was those same members of the Sanhedrin who had criticized Jesus for healing a man's shriveled hand on the Sabbath a generation later. They threatened Honi with excommunication, but because the miracle could not be repudiated, Honi was ultimately honored for his act of prayerful bravado. The prayer that saved a generation was deemed one of the most significant prayers in the history of Israel. The circle he drew in the sand became a sacred symbol, and the legend of Honi, the circle maker, stands forever as a testament to the power of a single prayer to change the course of history. Hosea 6:3, he will come to us like rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. Honi prayed boldly and specifically with faith that God not only heard, but would answer. The remainder of the book is page after page of enthusiasm as stories are shared of prayer walks, fasts, and big passionate prayers, prayer requests being asked and answered. I highly recommend you purchase several copies of this book, one for yourself and one to, several to share. The next step in my personal pursuit of passionate prayer, say that five times, was when I was watching the movie War Room. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend you buy a copy of this movie as well, because you will want to watch it often. The point of the War Room movie was that when the military is involved in a battle, they have a room set aside where they strategically make a battle plan. This morning I considered dressing in fatigues just to make that point, but it got nixed. We must make a battle plan against the enemy. We can stand in the gap for our children, spouses, extended family members, as well as our neighbors, communities, states, countries. The possibilities are limitless. I would like to challenge us to become stronger prayer warriors, praying with strategy. The people of Mosaic can pray boldly with faith and make a difference in our community. We need each other for fellowship, to hold each other up, and to share what we are learning as well as to challenge each other. I spoke of my interest in learning to pray better with my dear friends Sandy Repsol and Karen Shipley at dinner one night. Both recommended I read Fervent, written by Priscilla Shire, the actress in the movie War Room. Fervent prayer keeps your true identity in focus. It reminds us of who we really are and taps into the power we really have in Christ. Despite what we may or may not understand about prayer, God has deliberately chosen this particular vehicle as the one that drives his activity in people's lives. It's what he allows us to use to cooperate and partner with him in the fulfilling of his will. He's created prayer as a primary way of putting us into personal contact with him, with his eternal realities, any hour of the day or night. Isaiah 40:28-31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary with his and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Lamentations 3:22-23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Isaiah 49:16. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. How incredible to realize the depth of God's love for us. Our names are engraved in his hands. Just think about it. God has tattoos too. He loves us so mightily. Prayer keeps us on guard, our spiritual radar sensitive to the enemy's ploys and clever decoys. You will never get a busy signal when trying to speak with God. You won't be put on hold, which is incredible when you realize how many people can be praying at the same time. We have an all-powerful, all-understanding God with awesome, infinite resources. There is no hard drive failure, database, bad connection problem with him, but there are things that can get in the way of our prayer life. Fear. In fervent prayer, we discover something. Our God is fearless. Because he is fearless, we can be fearless too. Over 300 times in Scripture, in one form or another, he tells us not to be afraid. Fear not. Be ye not afraid. Do not fear. Prayer is the difference maker. An invitation for honesty, yes, for telling him how you feel, infused with the assurances and fearless confidence that comes from God's promises. Fear is one of Satan's primary schemes for crippling God's people. Your fears are strategies to derail you from your destiny and calling. The way to fight them is with deliberate prayer strategy of your own. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So whenever you sense a spirit of fear invading any particular area of your life, you can know by process of elimination that it's not coming from God. Joshua 1:8-9. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Jeremiah 1, 4 through 8. The word of the Lord came to me. I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. But I protested, oh no, Lord God, look, I don't know how to speak since I'm only a youth. Then the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a youth, for you will go to everyone I send you to and speak whatever I tell you. Do not be afraid of anyone, for I will be with you to deliver you. These verses have a special meaning for me this morning. Righteousness. Prayers that have power come from a person in pursuit of righteous living. Unrighteousness disrupts our peace. James 5, 16 and 17. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Romans 3, 10. There is none righteous, no, not one. Well, there's a conundrum. But in 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is why you and I must deliberately strategize in prayer for the daily ongoing protection of our purity. Psalms 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. See if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Psalms 145, 18 and 19. The Lord is near all who call out to him, all who call out to him with integrity. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry for help and he saves them. Forgiveness. Unforgiveness puts us in prime position for demonic influence and activity to take advantage of us. It can give us the feeling of blocked prayers. We must show forgiveness because forgiveness matters. Forgive anyway, not because it is easy, but because your enemy gets exactly what he wants otherwise. 2 Corinthians 2, 5 through 7. If anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you to some extent, not to put it too severely. The punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient for him. Now instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. God wants me to show comfort to the one who offends me. In my life, I have found this to be so very difficult to do using my own strength and power. But I can obey by asking for help from the Holy Spirit. Praying God's word for wisdom and strength. Praying to love the person with God's love. Admitting my inadequate love on my own and my need for God's love to take over. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Galatians 5:1. Jesus wants you free. That's what he created you for. His forgiveness of you is what makes your forgiveness possible towards others. Unity. There's a chapter in the Fervent Book on relationships that talks about friendly fire. Priscilla explains how difficult it is for military personnel to have to report the death of a loved one that was caused by one of their own, killed in the line of duty, killed by one of their own, killed by friendly fire. One of our most important strategies, a call for our most fervent praying, must be to stand against all forms of disharmony in our relationships and to battle for oneness among ourselves and all of God's people. Together we are a mighty force, and Satan knows that. Ephesians 1, 15 to 20. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. In prayer, we experience the kind of hard-fought peace that unites us into an army of soldiers for Christ. Unity among brothers and sisters puts Satan promptly in his place. Romans 5, 1 through 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. If there's anyone here who does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, who would like to gain access to him through faith, please do not leave this room without talking to someone, asking any questions you have regarding becoming part of God's forever family. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall have eternal life. Our peace with God is a gift that keeps us stable and strong despite our circumstances. The peace of God is what helps us navigate the will of God. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Colossians 3:15-17, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Ephesians 3:12, in him and through faith in him, Jessica may approach God with freedom and confidence. Psalms 20, verse 4, may he give Nancy the desires of her heart and make all her plans succeed. Psalms 42, he lifted Tina out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and mire. He set Tina's feet on solid ground and steadied her as she walked along. Psalms 18:30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of Jehovah is tried. He is a shield unto Colleen, who takes refuge in him. Psalms 55:22, Jody, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Psalms 143:1, Lord, hear Darla's prayer. Listen to Darla's cry for mercy. Come to help Darla because you are loyal and good. Psalms 92:4, for you, O Lord, have made Karen glad by what you have done. Karen will sing for joy at the work of your hands. 3 John 2, dear Lori, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my grandchildren are walking in the truth. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if Stacy is in Christ, Stacy is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Ezekiel 36:26, I will give Patty a new heart and put a new spirit within Patty. I will remove Patty's heart of stone and give Patty a heart of flesh. John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said to Becky, who believed him, if Becky abides in my word, Becky is my disciple indeed, and Becky shall know the truth, and this truth shall make Becky free. Ephesians 3:16-19. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Start circling promises in the Bible and pray them back to God. Keep a journal so that you will remember. I would like to finish by repeating the challenge I stated earlier. I would like to challenge each of us to become stronger prayer warriors for Christ, praying with a strategic battle plan, recognizing that the battle belongs to the Lord and we are his warriors. I would like to challenge us to, first of all, pray with thanksgiving, recognizing how much God loves us, to confess our sins and shortcomings, to pray to be filled and comforted by the Holy Spirit, to pray boldly in Christ for the healing of our land, to stand in the gap for our loved ones, to ask Jesus to open our eyes and ears to the things we should pray for, and to open our hearts and arms to see where God is working so we can join him. And before you leave today, please just draw alongside another person, share a Bible verse, put their name in it, and pray for them throughout the week. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. If you guys feel like you don't have enough prayer in your life or you need some encouragement in that area, we do have regular, I mean, this week we're doing the washing through the Father's Initiative, but we also have regular prayer times here on Wednesday evening and Thursday morning. So if you guys do want to be involved, don't hesitate to come down.